with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Marnie Roper. Recently, 2RPH attended the Live, Work and Play New South Wales State of Inclusion Conference in Sydney, both covering the two-day program and exhibiting. We met many interesting people who have undertaken initiatives to improve the level of inclusion for people with disabilities. Two of these are Timon Kennedy, the founder of social enterprise Better Goals, and his technical partner, Ben Pekatich, managing director of the development company Dynamic 4. Better Goals is the first mobile assistant for people with intellectual disability, providing them with a greater level of independence. The app organises their day with a calendar, tasks, reminders and directions, with added functionality to allow carers to check in via their own computer. Barbara Sullivan spoke with Timon and Ben after Timon's presentation at the conference.
Hello, Timon. Thanks very much for joining us as we move around the conference floor here.
Hi, yes. Thanks for chatting.
Tell us a little bit about how you came to think up the concept of Better Goals.
I started thinking about an e-market platform that had absolutely no relevance to anyone, but I thought was a great solution to Australia sucking at being an inclusive society. So I was getting really angry about the lack of inclusion in our society.
Right.
I've been working with people with intellectual disability for a long time, something I've seen firsthand, and I thought this idea was perfect, some weird platform thing. So then I went out and after spending a whole pile of time working on it, thought, all right, let's start interviewing and talking to people about, you know, what they really need, what's really going to work for them. And from that phase of interviewing, chatting, talking to people about what they want and they need, we realized that the e-market was way off track, and what people were really looking for were some really simple tools to manage their day so that they could be in control of their schedule, in control of what they want to do, where they're going. Really simple mobile assistant for managing your day, not a crazy e-market platform that had nothing to do with anything.
At that point, you, Mary and Charitha were two of the people you spoke to.
That's right, yeah, absolutely. So I'd worked with Mary and Charitha in pre-rolls, helping them to get ready for the NDIS. They're doing really interesting things, setting up organisations, really fascinating. And Mary and Charitha, yeah, were two of the people that we brought on and interviewed right at the start and really helped us understand the importance of independence and freedom to do the things that you want to do and how that's underpinned by managing your day and being on top of everything.
Mary, tell me your feeling about Better Goals. Had you thought that something like this would be really wonderful for you and Charitha, or when it came along,
well,
you had an aha moment?
When it came along, I thought how amazing and how wonderful and how helpful to all of the family, particularly Charitha, because he's now 20 and growing up and wanting to be more independent, wanting to sort of stretch himself and branch out and do things. And I would be spending most of my time during the day taking him to places, making sure he was where he was supposed to be. Often I would forget something because he's quite busy. So when this came along, I thought it was just amazing and wonderful and exactly what we needed and that we hadn't had.
And what about you, Charitha? What's your view about it? Has it made you feel more independent?
Yes, it does.
It helps you be able to go about your day without somebody there having to take you everywhere.
Yes, I do.
Which brings us to the development of it. So you had this idea, but your background was not necessarily in technology and development of technology. How did you go about the next step of making this a real product?
Yeah, I have no tech background at all. So what I did was I thought about the mission and what we're trying to achieve here, which is to empower independence for everyone. And then I went on the internet and Googled everyone who had spoken about accessibility, accessible design, accessible tech, doing things that are good with tech and I found Ben, who does have a technical background and had been speaking quite loudly and quite clearly about social enterprise and doing things that are good for the world.
Enter Ben.
How you doing?
You are clearly very interested and focused on this area. Tell us what appealed to you about the product or the vision.
From the vision perspective, one of the things that's been very clear from the beginning is the aspect of breaking down the segregation of people that have disabilities of various kinds and the rest of the population. And it's that's a big part of the vision, is actually having an inclusive society and community that's better for all of us. And that social justice inclusion aspect resonates very strongly with me.
So the next step, you got involved, and then how did the development happen?
Yeah, so we started obviously more from before the tech side of things, more the design aspect of things. So taking a very human-centered design approach to talk to the people involved that we're trying to work with and help. And there was another company involved as well called SIFT, who did a lot of that early research with people to get that body of understanding, engagement with the community of people with disability, to understand more about them, their actual context, how they think, feel, behave, what they actually need, as opposed to various random ideas we might have of different solutions. So that was a core part of the process in the design, and then involve them in the process of actually designing what the solution should look like.
So is there anything that comes to mind about some of the ideas that had been put forward about how the product should be realised that you thought would not work, or in fact things that you had suggested that weren't in there?
Yes, making it easy for Charitha to be able to use. So some of the language that was being used to describe things or suggestions needed to be in a more simple language, I think, so that people like Charitha could follow it and know what it was saying.
So using pictures?
Yes, yeah. Pictures and simple language rather than more technical language.
So we're trying to employ the principles of easy read, which is the way of written communication that's accessible to people with very low literacy.
Yes.
So we're talking about ideas to accompany text. We're talking about one idea per chunk of text and some really clear principles to make it something that everyone can engage with, even if they have low literacy.
Well, I noticed that from your website. It was your first iteration of your website, from what you said.
Yeah, but we're not telling anyone publicly that it's up, because it's
not very clear. But it's very clear.
There's a new version that will be live in the next couple of days, which is much closer.
Is it?
And I think that's an important part of the journey and the story is, this isn't about getting it right once and then it's just done. It's a constant learning process, and it's not us just coming up with ideas. It's actually working with people who are going to use the product to understand what they need. Mm-hmm. And so they are actively designing it with us, as opposed to just having random ideas, you know, and feedback. We're actually involving them very deeply in the process.
Well, one of the things I liked about it too was, well, there's many things I like about it, but one of the things was the fact that you could have information as well and feel reassured that everything was going to plan and that you could be alerted if there were any problems.
That's right. And having had an experience where things didn't go to plan in another time with Charitha and the worry of trying to find him when he'd got lost, if he'd had the app, it would have made life a whole lot easier, because he would have known where he was and I would have known where he was and we could have met up.
If we have the time, you should tell that story. It's a really powerful story.
Well, Charitha was out with a group of people from an organisation, and he was lost in Chinatown where they'd gone and rang us at 10:30 at night, terrified, saying, "I'm lost, I don't know where they are." And I said, "Where are you?" He said, "I don't know." All he could say, and thank goodness Charitha can read to a certain extent, he said,
"Dragonfly."
Dragonfly. That was the name. Well, my husband and I got ready to go and just drive around Chinatown. But by this stage, it was about 11 o'clock. One of my daughters was able to Google it, and so she told me where it was. It was on the corner of Goulburn and George Streets. So we drove in, and luckily we were able to stop near there, and I could see Charitha. There was a whole crowd of people going by, and when I'd been talking to him on the phone, I said, "Can you stop somebody and ask them to answer the phone so I could find out where he was?" He said, "No, there's nobody here," and I could hear all this noise in the background. So he was getting really, really anxious. So when we got there, His clothes were sopping wet. He had been so nervous.
I have passed out, but I actually didn't faint.
No, you didn't faint, but you felt like you might.
Yeah, I might.
So that really brought home to me then when we started talking with Simon, or Simon started talking to us, what a difference this will make. And we won't need to have an experience like that again.
You don't need two of those.
No, it was terrifying.
Talk about being in a sweat, I bet
yes,
you were.
Yes, I was, yes.
The other thing is your focus on making the world more inclusive for people with an intellectual disability. And you said it so right, people do focus on other aspects. People think of having wheelchair ramps, but it's almost an ephemeral thing, I think, for people to understand how to make everything accessible for people with an intellectual disability.
Yeah, absolutely. And the sad irony of it is, not the numbers matter that much when you're talking about people's lives, but people with intellectual disability and autism will actually make up the majority of people in the National Disability Insurance Scheme, in the NDIS. And yet, we somehow miss it all the time. And particularly when we start thinking about tech accessibility, people build for screen reader accessibility, not for people with low literacy, which actually is an issue that goes way beyond people with intellectual disability. It's 44% of the adult population have low to non-functional literacy. Doesn't mean they can't read, it means they won't engage with a chunk of text.
Yes.
So by building for people with intellectual disability first, we believe we have built a product that's going to be beautiful and simple enough for everyone to use. And that's really critical when, not to throw you under the bus, Mary, but I'm sure you'll back me up on this. You know, Tarita's part of the swipe generation. Don't click buttons anymore, you swipe things. Yeah. So Tarita picked up Better Goals and started running with it straight just away on instinct, on knowing how to navigate a phone, and because we're building a platform that's pretty simple. Mary had far more challenges with using the product.
Indeed.
So we're really trying to make sure that those principles of building for people with intellectual disability mean that we create a product that everyone can use.
There's so much focus on inclusion in all other ways, but not in the digital world. And unless everybody can engage digitally, then they're not part of the digital world. Everyone needs to be a citizen of that world, because that's the way the world is. And whether the government's requiring you to do things online now, to anything, what you're doing is one little step to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot that we're learning, which we'd be really, really happy to share to make our little step go further. I've relied on the goodwill of people and organisations entirely to get to where we are. You know, Ben didn't mention that he worked for free for a long, long time. And I think it's really important to just make it clear that whatever we can share and learn, and others can learn from our journeys, it's all part of the bigger picture.
Did you encounter any particular design and technical challenges, Ben?
I think it's ongoing. As I mentioned before, it's a constant learning process. There's some well-established design patterns and learnings with things like easy read guidelines, other accessibility guidelines, but the context of use and working with the actual people that the product is for, you learn a lot more that's firsthand and much more relevant. And so it's constantly working with those people and iterating the product as we go, and that's why we love having people on the journey with us to keep learning and make the product what it needs to be.
Well, it's very exciting, and congratulations to you all. And I should, at this point, let you go let you go back to enjoy the after-conference time, networking.
Cheers.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening, and goodbye till next programme.